Colossians chapter 2, verse 1. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God about faith or fad? Verse 1 says, "For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and all those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of the wisdom and knowledge. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive word, for though I am absent in the flesh, yet I'm with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through vain philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in Him, who is the head of all principality and power." Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we pray for your guidance in this study this morning, that you would reveal your word to us, open our minds and our hearts, and Lord, speak to us through your word. I pray, Lord, you'd use me to deliver your message, that it be your message, not mine. And that, Lord, it'll be a message that will be of value to the hearer. Lord, if it comes from you, it will be of value to the hearer. So, Lord, move freely among us. You know every spiritual need present here today. I pray for every need, those who need to be saved, those who need comfort, those who need encouragement, those, Lord, who just need rededication. Lord, I pray that today, when this service is over, that every single person here can leave here knowing they've been in your presence and that things and that their life is right with you. These things we ask in the precious name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Today focuses fads. You know what a fad is, right? Well, I looked that up, and according to the dictionary, a fad is a practice that's followed for a time or a season with an exaggerated zeal. There are a lot of fads out there. Did you know music tends to be a fad? Now, I don't mean music itself, but the style of music. What I'm talking about. Oh, how I wish that young people today could just recognize good music. You know, my goodness, when I was growing up and we'd plug the 8-track into the... Y'all don't even know what that is, do you? That's back in the day when music was good. Unlike today, when they have to rap everything. I've told Adam, my son, y'all know he's in the music business. I said, "Son, you know, sing, but please don't rap. Sing." He'll probably do it just to spite me. But you know what I've discovered? I said all that jokingly. My music that I listened to back when I was a young guy, it was a fad because it's passed by. Kids, the music you're listening to that you think is so good today, it's going to fade. And if the Lord doesn't come back, your kids are going to look like you, like you're so old-fashioned and out of it and don't know what cool music really is. Those styles, they're fads, fashion fads. Still don't like those pants that are worn halfway down to the knees. That's one fad I can't get. We're doing better. Don't see that quite as often as you used to. But there's a lot of fads out there. And the thing about fads is they never last. But they do draw a huge following. And usually they have no real value. And that's what Paul was writing about today. He didn't use the word fad, but that's what he was talking about. And the first verse there, when he talked about the conflict that he had, he actually said that there was a contest going on in his life. For chapter 2, verse 1, he said, "For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those at Laodicea." That word conflict, it literally means to be a struggle. And it was a term used for an athlete that was struggling in an athletic competition, such as a race. You know, if you're racing somebody, you're just doing all you can do to stay ahead of them so that you'll come in first place. That's what that term meant. It was a contest. And Paul said, "Man, I'm fighting the contest today." Does it sound surprising that Paul was fighting the contest? You know, you think of the Apostle Paul, you just think people just gravitated to the man, but apparently not. And I mean, let's be real. There is a contest today. A battle for church members. Church is a competition. I mean, we compete with baseball, basketball, football that our children play. There was a day they would never schedule something, you know, cheerleading competitions. They would never schedule that on Sunday. But something along the way, they have decided that those things are more important than Jesus on Sunday. And so the church is put into a position, okay, we've got to compete with that. We compete with hobbies, you know. Especially in the summertime, going down to the lake, spending time on the lake, camping, boating, skiing. We compete with concerts, beaches, golf, and every hobby you can think of that we choose that people are drawn to on the weekends instead of being drawn to God and attendance in God's house. And there are so many things that attract people that it's coming to crisis level in churches today. Now, I'm just being honest, okay? It's coming to crisis level. And because of that, churches themselves have moved over to try and attract people. We try to attract people through the music that we play and the style of music, you know, because there are so many people out there that like that contemporary music. I don't know how many people I've heard say, I've asked them, "Where do you go to church?" And they said, "We go to church here." And I said, "We just like the music over there so much." And that's okay. Okay? Different music styles, different people. That's fine. Church has moved into services, the service industry. There's babysitting services and youth programs and all this stuff to please the youth. And again, you know, in what I've, my dealing with people, one of the common questions is, what do you have, what is your youth ministry? What do you have for our kids? And do not get me wrong, we have children's programs at Victory, okay? We do. And I'm glad we do, right? But for any program, the goal cannot be to attract people, but rather to teach people the ways of God. Amen. Okay? That has to be the goal. Yeah? I mean, churches today are even trying to compete with Super Bowl Sunday. That's my favorite one of the year. We don't go to church that Sunday night because the Super Bowl is on. And I'm a football fan, right? So churches have come up with the idea, let's have Super Bowl Sunday night. And instead of having preaching, singing, praise, and honoring God, glory, we'll just meet together and watch the Super Bowl at the church. Is there anything wrong with that? It's just going into competition with the world. You see, the competition, the world has this great con that they've offered us. And that con, verse 4, Paul said, "Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words." The art of persuasion. You know, the con is what they will tell you is, "We have something better to offer you than Jesus." That's what they say. "It's more important for you to come do this, whatever this is, than to come and do Jesus." And the other message is, "Come and we'll give you what you want. If you'll come to us, we'll provide what you really want." That world attitude, that world mentality has created seeker-sensitive churches. Okay. As a matter of fact, 2 Timothy 4:3, we're warned of this event. 2 Timothy 4:3 says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap for themselves teachers." You know what people want to... The world today, not just church, they want people to tell them what they want to hear. What do we want from politicians? We want politicians who tell us what we want to hear. What do we want from preachers? Preachers who tell us what we want to hear. Don't get on that old sin track and talk about the sins of society. All that's old fashioned. Just pat us on the back, tell us to be good, and let's walk out feeling good. That's the con. And what's happening is people are being cheated. Cheated. Chapter 2, verse 8 says, Paul said, "Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit." That word cheat means to take captive. You know? Take captive by the world view system. The world, the culture today has a philosophy, and the philosophy is political correctness. There are certain things you don't say anymore. And because of this philosophy, no longer is morality taught in churches nor taught in the homes. There's no stand against sexual promiscuity, no stand against homosexuality. Don't point out sin is the fear of the world, or is the call of churches today. No repentance. You don't have to change to become a child of God. God loves you just the way you are. That's what people want to hear. Are you a homosexual? Yes, God loves you just the way you are. Come on and join us. That's the message. That's a lie. Okay? God loves you, but He hates your sin. And I want to go a step farther than that. Not just about picking on homosexuals. It's about picking on anybody who's sexually immoral. Sex outside of marriage, you're wrong. You know? But we're not allowed to say that anymore. And so we've created a society that, spiritually speaking, has been cheated by empty deceit, devoid of significance. Churches that don't believe anything or teach anything. As I said before, they just preach the feel good, pat you on the back, and you go out and come back next week. That religion, my friend, is a fad. And it will not last. It's not going to last. Well, Brother Doug, I know a lot of churches that are doing well with that. Hang on. Hang on. Paul's saying there's more to it. There's more to spirituality. There's more to relationship. And so he begins to tell them what that more is with this encouragement. He said in verse 2 that their hearts may be encouraged. That word encouraged, it means to strengthen. And how do you strengthen churches? Well, first of all, you've got to understand that there has to be a glue that holds it all together. Okay? What makes church so special? There is a glue that holds it all together. Verse 2, Paul said that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of full assurance and understanding of the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of the Christ. There must be a glue, and that glue that will hold everything together in churches is love. It starts with a love for God. Right? And love for God is more than a feeling. I mean, we can say we love God, but if God's not the priority of your life, you're lying. And I know that's bold and that's hard to, but it's the truth. If God's not a priority in your life, you're just talking. Because see, love, the people that you love, it shows by the life that you live. I mean, you really don't have to announce it so much as you because of the way you display it. Why do people drop out of churches? You ever seen people, they would come to church for a little while and the first thing you know, they'd drop out and be gone. Never would see them anymore. Why do they do that? That's a faith fad. Kind of looks cool from the outside and they kind of, that looks like something I'd like to get involved with. They seem to be good people, so they go for a little while and then the first thing you know, it gets a little hard, gets more difficult, and they just kind of fall by the wayside. Why? Because it's a fad to them. Why do people stay in church? Because they love God. That's it. Why do people stay? You want to keep people in church? Help them to love God. Right? That's the first glue. The second glue is a love for one another. Got to love one another. Right? In the church, I would not trade church family for anything because of the love that exists at Victory Baptist Church. The love of God and the love of one another. Right? I really believe that this church loves its members. But you want to check your love? You want to know if you love the membership of this church or if you like them? I give you a test. Ready? Here's the test. You decide whether you love them or you like them. What do you do with them when they make you mad? You know what Beth does with me when I make her mad? She may fuss at me. She may tell me I'm wrong and do all, but you know what? She loves me anyway. Because that's love. Anything less would be like. She would like me. At this point in my life, she spent 30-something years, 35, 7 years together. Let's skip right on over that. We have spent a lot of time together. I want her to love me at this point. And see, I just gave her a reason to love me. You see the difference. Church is not about liking God and liking people. We're about loving God and loving people. See, that's the thing that makes church. That's the glue that holds it together. That's the adhesive. We also have to have an abundance. Oh, it's Colossians 2:2. that we read, that their hearts being encouraged, being knit together in love, the attaining to all riches of the full assurance of the understanding to the knowledge of the mystery of God. You see, we start with love, and it'll lead to the attaining to the riches of the full assurance of the understanding to the knowledge of the mystery of God. That just sounds neat, doesn't it? But it sounds very wordy, and it's easy not to really understand what that truly means. Let's start with the riches. The word riches. We're talking about wealth. We're talking about coming to the point in your life where you have a wealth of spiritual knowledge to draw from. Okay? That's the first part of that statement. Attaining to all riches. Don't you wish you had the answers for everything in life? Don't you? That's the picture that's being painted here. I've got insight for you. You do have all the answers. It's in the Word of God. Oh, but Brother Doug, it's tough sometimes. And most of the time it's not. It's just that I don't want to do what's in the Word of God, right? How do we gain those riches? We gain those riches from time in the Word. Personal time in the Word. So many people have told me over and over, Brother Doug, I just don't have time to get into the Word of God. Yes, you do. You do what you want to do. Okay? You do what you want to do. You have all of God that you want. You do have time if God's a priority. But you also have public Bible study. You see, that's what we get at church. Right? That's why Bible study, Sunday morning Bible study is so important. And I'm not talking about what we're doing here. I'm talking about what goes on back there. Are you involved in a Bible study ministry? If not, why not? I mean, let's face it. It's 45 minutes. And you may learn things that you've never known before. Don't be just a get in here for preaching. You be a get in here for Bible study. Remember? Because see, that's where the riches come from. You've also got to know. You've also got to come to the full assurance of understanding. To put that in our language, what he's talking about conviction. Okay? That you have a wealth of knowledge and a conviction. A conviction of what? A conviction that the knowledge you have is right. If it comes from the Word of God, it's right. Right? Are you good with that? If the Bible says it, it's correct. Yeah? That's the conviction. You want to, once again, you want to know why we don't practice what's in the Bible? It's because we don't believe it works. That's right. Give you an example. Marriage. Marriage still works if you do it by the Bible. But how many times have I been approached and they say, oh, Brother Doug, I just don't love him anymore. Well, start loving him again. Well, Brother Doug, I have no control over that. Yes, you do. Love is a choice. When you rely 100% on feeling, what your feeling is like. Love is when you say, okay, I'm going to love you even though I don't like you that much right now. Yeah. And besides, when you consider divorce, what does God's Word say about divorce? Jesus Himself in Matthew 5:32 said, whoever divorces his wife for any reason except sexual immorality causes her to commit adultery, and whoever marries the woman who is divorced commits adultery. It's wrong. Jesus said, no, make it work. Fix it. Fix it. Why don't we do that? Because we believe it'd be better to start all over than pastoring going on 30 years. And I cannot count a couple short of abuse. I cannot count a single couple who divorced and was better for it. And I've done a lot of marriage counseling. Why? Because God knew what He was doing when He told us about marriage and divorce. And He's right. Sex outside of marriage, is that okay? I mean, when a man and a woman are both consenting and love one another, is that okay? No, it's not. It's reserved for marriage. 1 Corinthians 4:18. Flee sexual immorality. Okay, that's the end of the conversation. God's Word said, don't do it. Run from it. Get away. Get out of there. But do you believe it? If you believe it, you'll practice it. Drinking. I know nowhere in the Bible does it say that we can't drink. You know? I believe with all my heart you're best to avoid it. I do. Why? Proverbs 21. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is a brawler. Whoever is led astray thereby is not wise. I have not found in the Scripture where it says alcohol is good. Except, Paul said, take a little for your stomach's sake. Take a little wine for your stomach's sake. I cannot see in the Scripture where alcohol is a good thing. In 31, Proverbs 31, verse 6, it says, give strong drink to him who's perishing. You know what that means? The guy's dying, give him a beer. The rest of us have too much to live for. Amen? What I want you to get, God's Word is right. He didn't tell us these things to keep us from having fun. He told us these things to keep us from messing up our life. Okay? And you got to have a conviction about that. Finally, you've got to build on that conviction. There has to be a construction. Colossians 2:6 that we read says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. So walk in Him. How do you walk in Jesus? It sounds really cool thing to say, but how do you walk in Jesus? Well, He told you in the very next verse, verse 7. He said, first of all, be rooted. He said, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith. Rooted, that means the place that you build your foundation. Set your roots. The place where you find the priority of your life, that's where your roots are. Okay? There's a lot of people who say, I'm saved. Okay? But are you rooted? Meaning, you won't be moved. Where will you be 10 years from now if you're alive? Same place you are here now? We don't know what tomorrow holds. But will you still be God-honoring, rooted in the truth of the Scripture? Or when something else better comes along or that looks better, will you lay God aside? I knew a couple when I was pastoring in Mississippi. And for 9 years, I tried to get this couple to come to church. I think they came about twice. Maybe twice. Once when their mom died and they were at the funeral. But this couple, every weekend, it was the same thing. They said, Brother Doug, we don't have time to come to church on Sundays because every weekend, we go to flea markets looking for Coke memorabilia. They were Coke fads, Coke fanatics. And it's just, you know, they couldn't buy enough Coke stuff. And they would buy it and sell it. And they talked about all the money they'd make buying and selling Coke memorabilia. Is there anything wrong with Coke memorabilia? No. I think the signs are really cool. If you build your life on it, you're building on a fad. Okay? You see, there has to be a foundation, a place where you start. That would be eternal in value. That place is Jesus Christ. Are you a child of the King? Are you saved? If you are, establish yourself. That when Satan comes and tempts you, you take your stand. Satan, I'm not moving. I've been bought and paid for by the blood of Christ, and you can't stop me. You've got to have that foundation. You've also got to have a building. See, here's where many people fail. We lay the foundation, we call upon Jesus Christ as Savior, and we never build anything. But Paul said in that same verse, rooted and built up. Why do you build a foundation? Why do you lay a foundation? So you can build on it, right? If you set the foundation, you're ready to build something that has eternal value. No one ever comes into your home and walks into your living room and says, that is the most beautiful foundation I've ever seen. Why? Because they can't see the foundation. If you've called upon Jesus Christ and made Him the foundation of your life, that's wonderful. But people can't see that inside you. You know what they can't see? They can see what you're building. Okay? Fads do not belong on spiritual foundations. Okay? By that I mean, and I'm not talking about, I know styles of music changes and stuff like that, but never replace spiritual gold and silver with the fads of the culture. That's my point. Point to the whole message, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12, and then we're going to close. I didn't put this on the overhead, so I'll have to read it to you. It says, now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stone, that's the good stuff. Wood, hay, or straw, that's the temporary stuff. That's the fads. Each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work, which he has built on it, endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved. One of these days, you're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And I promise you, when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, you will not impress Him by saying, oh Lord, you should see the coat collection I have in my living room. Oh Lord, you should have been there that day I made the hole-in-one golfing. It's going to be useless. But those things you do for the glory of God, that's making heavenly deposits. And those are the only thing that you can take with you. Last word of advice in closing. Don't pile junk on God's foundation. Okay? I'll say it again. Don't pile junk on God's foundation. Have you ever been to a house that you drove by the outside and you think, I don't want to stop there. All run down, junk piled up in the yard, and cars on cement blocks, and you know, multiple cars, and junk's just overflowing in the yard, and you just look like you need a tetanus shot to drive in. And you know there's a house in there somewhere, but you can't see it for all the junk. If you're a child of the King, don't put your worldly junk, don't build your worldly junk on the Master's foundation. Precious blood of Jesus Christ. Are you saved? If not, let's start with the right foundation today. Listen, I want to tell you the truth. All of sin comes short of the glory of God. That's you. Okay? But the good news is, the blood of Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness. So you're not too bad or you're not too good to be saved. Okay? And whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That message is to you. Lay the foundation of Jesus Christ today. Call upon Him for salvation. Maybe you're here today and you need to have a garage sale. Get rid of the junk. The altar's open. Take care of the junk. Get rid of it. Start building. With gold, silver, precious stones. Those things that will matter 50, 100, 200 years from now. Those things that are of value. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for the day. We thank You, Lord, for Your Word and for the opportunity to share Your Word. And I pray, Lord, that You will just freely move among us today. You knowing the state of every life. And Lord, who am I to... I can't point a finger. I can't judge. For I don't know. But Lord, You know. You know my own personal life. And the junk I need to get rid of. As well as the life of everyone present. Father, I pray receptive hearts today. Willing hearts to respond to You in Jesus' name.